Dawson, I was talking with Tim Skubick earlier this morning. We were talking about people like you who cover the Capitol and really know the workings. I've learned so much about how things work and what's going on, and appreciate that. And thanks, and Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Well, Merry Christmas to you, Tony.
If you
get Tim Skubick to skip the thing on the air, make sure you warn us well in advance.
Well, you know, I did get him to do that one time, and we've got that on tape. We're going to be running that back. I'm sure he's cringing at the thought of that. Your thoughts on Governor Granholm's final farewell, if you will? She's had a tour. She's been on this program. What are your thoughts about her farewell, if you will?
I think every governor, to some degree, tries to sort of make a final impression on the way out the door. This has been pretty extraordinary, though, with really interview after interview, and then the thing last week with the portrait video, the living portrait. I don't know if you saw that, the video that they produced. It's basically an 8-minute-long campaign commercial, touting how wonderful everything's been for the last 8 years. A little bit of wow is
well,
all I can say.
Well, you know, when we talk about the governor's tenure, you know, two things come to mind. Number one, she was faced with a lot of challenges, maybe more challenges that any governor has had to handle. But what comes to the forefront beyond that is how she handled them. And there are a lot of folks who think some of the ways she handled some of those situations were wrong and that they didn't work. And that's what she's going to be remembered for.
I don't see how it could be otherwise. The reality is what it is. These were among the worst years in state history in many ways. And they went from bad to worse instead of from bad to better.
Dawson, when I think about how Governor-elect Rick Snyder has been conducting his business since he was elected, it's almost been quiet. He has been focused on putting his staff together, getting his game plan together. I know that takes a lot of time, but it seems like he's really been low-key beyond making some of the key announcements for post. Do you see it that way also?
Yeah, I concur in that. There is only one governor at a time, and it's not his, and even if it wasn't that way, it's not his style to be a showman. I think we sort of learned that during the campaign. I continue to marvel at how really sort of camera shy he continues to be. He had a news conference yesterday announcing a couple of appointments, and he couldn't wait to get their names out and step aside, so that they could take over for him. I mean, the guy's not a publicity hound.
Let's talk about a few items before we let you go, Dawson. Number one, Jennifer Granholm. This is a story I read from you. Has freed a lot of prisoners. Your story says probably more in her tenure than others. Talk about that story.
Well, it was a part of her legacy, really, that really a lot of people have looked at and said was a departure from past practice that made sense and hasn't jeopardized public safety. There isn't any question she, after she was reelected, of course, and didn't have to worry about it becoming a campaign issue, started on an average of about once a week commuting the sentences of prisoners who had long, a lot of them drug crimes and or people who weren't eligible for parole but were very ill and were costing the state a fortune, some prisoners that could be deported. But the last two governors, especially James Blanchard and John Engler, had been loath to let anybody out for any reason, for fear that if one of those people did something horrible, which had happened in the past, that it would come back to haunt him. And Governor Granholm took that on and did it. And so far, she's been vindicated. But, you know, a lot of those people will be alive and on the outside for a long time, and we'll see what happens.
What do you think her motivation was?
Partly mercy, you know, the compassion. She felt that we weren't serving any of society's real needs other than vengeance to keep people behind bars forever, and partly money. It is expensive to keep somebody in prison, and if you think that you can that they can function on the outside and not jeopardize their fellow citizens, and then it saves money. And well, Lord knows along with the parole policies, you know, the prison system has shrunk substantially on her watch.
And finally, Dawson, in a piece that you wrote on Tuesday, you talked about Smoke's ban has a cloudy impact. Some of the folks that we've had on the program talking about this, has smoking caused liquor sales and lottery sales to decrease, especially in establishments that claim that they've lost a lot of sales about that. But really, there's not enough information to say, you know, one way or another, is there?
It's early. You know, we've only had 6-8 months experience with it, and they've been, you know, there have been the cross currents of a turbulent economic times too. So it's kind of hard to measure economic trends generally. I think that data that Treasury produced though shows pretty clearly that in certain kinds of establishments, basically the neighborhood tavern type, where they rely heavily on sales of alcohol and not so much on food, that business has been damaged. And, you know, some of those people are hurting.
All right. Dawson Bell is the Lansing Bureau Chief for the Detroit Free Press. You can go to freep.com. He covers the Capitol in just awesome fashion. Dawson, thanks so much. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you.
Thanks to you, Tony, and Merry Christmas.